I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Bogey or Better podcast. I'm Cameron. I don't have Dylan, our co-host, with me today, so it'll be a nice solo episode, a little mini episode we have for you this week. I wanted to bring up the golf.com post, Keys to Being a Good Golf Partner, according to Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman. Really, since starting this podcast, Dylan and I have become pretty good golf partners. We played every once in a while together before the podcast, but since starting it, we've played more together than probably we've ever had in our entire lives. And it's a good system. I mean, it creates some good competition, but even just the other day, you know, we each tend to help each other work on our swings. We know what the other does that kind of can get us caught in some bad spots. Tend to send each other good golf content and swing, not swing fixes, but little technique drills. You know, don't send me a Mike Bender video the other day. One of the basket drills, because I like to take the club a little too inside when I'm really trying to go for it. And, you know, sometimes the old habits die hard, you know. But they talked about what the keys to a good golfer, you know, the Zurich Classic is going, and it's a best ball team match. I mean, it's one of the more fun ways to play golf, even for normal people like us. And so we talked about how to be a good golf partner. It's a fun game to try and switch it up if you guys are trying to go out there and make a little money off your friends. The first one, though, was just play a lot of golf together. I know Dylan really well on the golf course. He knows me really well on the golf course. He knows where I shine and where I have my difficulties and vice versa. And you know, there are parts where he can almost expect me to do something and I can expect him to do something, whether it's, you know, a good shot or a poor shot based on certain conditions. You know, we just really know each other's headspace and things like that. It may sound simple, but it's important. When you play with someone often, you generate chemistry with them. You start to know their game, and when the pressure ticks up a notch, you'll both know what to say in order to lower the tension. Which brings us to the next point, which was embracing banter. It says Smith and Leishman are out there to have fun. When you know your playing partner, you know both that you're comfortable and you know how to get the best out of each other. And clearly, you can help each other actually play better. You don't have to actually be amazing to help somebody. It doesn't mean that you want to always be helping somebody, because that person probably won't appreciate it if you're not very good. But if you notice something that might help, especially one of your playing partners, that's a big thing. Another way to be a really good golf partner is really your short game. There's two intangibles so far, right? It was banter and then just playing a lot of golf together. But if you want to be a really good playing partner, then you have to have a good short game, or need to find one with a good short game. That's why, like, you know, I play a lot with Dylan. Dylan's one of the better putters I've seen. We do really well together because his strengths in golf are my weaknesses. Once I get on the green, I have a lot of struggles making longer putts. I don't three putt really, but I just don't confidently make 10 footers, 15 footers. And Dylan is really good at putting confidently and making those. When you're playing best ball, short game and putting is super important because you don't want to feel like you can't miss a green, you can't miss a fairway, or feel like that if you do, that we're still going to be in a good chance of getting up and down or doing something to get back into position. So if you really think about those three options so far, it's all about taking the pressure off another player. But looks like those three keys from Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman are where you need to be if you want to be a good golf partner or if you want to find a good golf partner. You may have some friends you like playing golf with, but when it comes time to maybe play like a best ball tournament or something like that, maybe they're not the best to help you win if that's what you want to do or if you want to get better. Maybe not. But look at somebody that you can play a lot together with, you can have good banter on and off, keep the pressure down, and one that either is really good at a short or at short game or can at least take some pressure off you with their short game. I want to talk about also too, the LPGA has been growing fast. It really is, you know, golf is getting extremely popular and there's no end in sight. It looks like at least. And the LPGA is just following. I think her name is Anne Van Dam. And she's a professional golfer on the LPGA Tour. Her Instagram is Annie V Dam. D-A-M is her last name. And she, Golf TV, posted her stock yardages. So her lob wedge, 93 yards. Sand wedge, 110. Gap, 122. Pitching, 134. 9, 146. 8 iron, 158. 7 iron, 170. 6 iron, 182. 5 iron, 195. 4 iron, 208. 5 wood, 235. And 3 wood, 253. With driver capping out at 268. That's Dylan's yardages. And it's not an insult. He literally said that those are his yardages. So the distance game, we talked about that last week. The difference in distance has grown, right? We see a big jump in the ladies' golf. And I think a lot of it clearly has to do with having the proper coaches and proper talent teaching the ladies' golf game. When it wasn't as popular, you still had the men dominating the sport and had most of all the talented coaches, strength, conditioning, nutritionists, fitness, all that on the men's side. But now women's golf is gaining popularity. The purses are getting bigger. The tournament prizes, you know, it's gaining on all sides of the spectrum for golf. So clearly they're benefiting too. And we're seeing full-on athletes playing the sport, including ladies' golf. The cool thing, too, was the Masters Amateur, the ladies' amateur. If anybody gets a chance to watch that again, or at least next year, I can't remember if it's the weekend before or if it's like that Tuesday, Wednesday, but next year, you got these amateur lady golfers playing Augusta National. And they're the future of that side of the sport. And if you want to learn how to, we've said it before, if you want to learn how to swing properly and fluid, you need to watch some LPGA. They have some of the most beautiful swings that I've ever seen. And it comes from learning properly how to swing with the lower half of their body. The men's game tends to, including amateurs, we tend to go too much arms. Dylan will tell you, he's hindered by the fact that he uses so much upper body instead of, you know, embracing the lower body part of the swing. But that's how he's been swinging for so long, and he's very good. So, no reason to make any major changes for no reason. But if you watch the LPGA, watch how they fire their hips, and it almost feels like their club is still behind them. Like, they're just, their level of flexibility seems to be higher, and they can just strike the ball. It's something special. It's always cool when you get to see, you know, even the amateur or the college ranks get on TV, or, you know, gaining some popularity on other podcasts. We can see, you know, they're getting some light, some attention, which is always good. But take advantage of all the different kinds of golf content there is. I've really liked enjoying on ESPN Plus. They've been having some college golf on, you know, and I don't really follow college golf, but it's nice to see, you know, some of these college kids, how they're swinging, what they're swinging, you know, the different ways they play. And really, I mean, you look at these kids in college, they are from every end of the world. like there's people's names that I could hardly pronounce playing at a super high level for their college team. And I mean, that's a good thing. Yeah, you know, Dylan was talking about the branching out of golf and having more and more players have the access to become professional golfers and be good at it, and how golf can't be that exclusive club type sport anymore. They've opened it up and it's gaining popularity. They have to capitalize on the growth of their sport and the widespread attention it's got. There was a study that was revealed. Again, we're looking at golf.com, talking about the negative impacts that a normal 9-to-5 can have on your golf game. It says, sitting for long periods of time can hurt your attention span, make you more easily distracted. It says, using EEG recordings to measure the electrical potentials generated in participants' brains as they engage in tasks designed to challenge their ability to focus, ignore distractions, and switch their attention between tasks. The study found that people who spent more time in sedentary bouts were more easily distracted. So, interestingly, I really thought that it was going from a way that if you're more sedentary, that your body is going to have more difficulty golfing. But it really talks about being sedentary, maybe not necessarily an office job, but just one that requires you to be seated, that you'll find it harder to concentrate on the golf course. So, if you do, or if you feel that you do, this is what they said to do. It said, try stepping away from your desk throughout the day and get some exercise. Something like a 20-minute walk, sneaking in a few holes at your local course. Or it said, what's a Mel Reed-inspired workout? Let's see. LPGA star Mel Reed, one of the most fit players in all of golf. Oh, she's got like a full-on like workout on here. So look that up. Go to golf.com. It's an article by Sean Zach, March 6, 2021. Let's see, it's got four really good workouts that can help get you nice and warmed up for a nice golf round, get you a little more fit for nine holes or something. I know there was, I was telling the guys that we play with a couple weeks ago, there was six straight days where I had to be in the house on the, you know, in my office at a computer from 8 to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I, my day job is the complete opposite of that. I'm on my feet all day. It's not my normal job, but for a whole 6 days I had to. And I could not, I'm just not used to it. So what was funny was I told the guys, I don't know how much golf I'll be able to play because of that schedule. I ended up playing nine holes after, like I would leave at like 4:30, go play nine and come back. And I played probably four times out of the 6 days that I was doing that. And I actually played one of my best rounds of nine holes. I shot one under for nine holes. And it was one of the best rounds. And, you know, getting yourself, like, a membership. I think people think being a member of a golf club is unattainable. Maybe it is in your area. But take a look. Get some information at your local course. You know, one of the courses were millennial members. They offer that, where you pay your age per month as a green fee that covers your entire month. So I'm 24. So I pay $24 a month, and that's my green fee for the entire month. And then all I pay is a cart fee when I go play. And then me and Dylan just became members too at Golden Hills Country Club. And that was a nicer golf course. It was worth it. I mean, it's more expensive, but you can walk it for free. And a lot of golf courses have junior memberships. So if you're under 35, you get a really, really good rate. And take advantage of that. I think it was just over $100 a month, and that included me and my wife. So a little bit more expensive, but when you think about it in the grand total, you can walk for free. So I'm walking over there a good bit. It's great. It's basically my exercise. So every couple days, go walk nine holes. It's good exercise. It's a nicer course, so I really enjoy playing there. And it's not unattainable. You know, if you're paying $40 to play every single time, you're not going to keep up that pace, if that makes sense. You may be able to keep up that pace. If that's true, then go become a member, because, you know, I paid $100 a month for Golden Hills, and then I'm going to walk two or three times a week for free. I just go there, I call, make my tee time, walk up, play, don't pay nothing. But imagine if I wanted to play Golden Hills two or three times a week, $45 every time. Basically, I think it's $18 if I want to ride 18 holes. Super cheap, comparatively. Same thing at Charwood. You know, it's at a much cheaper rate, but it's also not as nice of a course. But, you know, every time I go, it's $17 to ride 18 holes. Or $9 to ride 9 holes. So, before you start spending, you know, you start only playing once every couple weeks because it's $40. Take a look at some of their membership programs. Take a look at all the other courses around. See what's available to you and do the math. Because more often than not, if you became a member, you'd be breaking even at the current rate that you play. But what's cool is that means any extra golf you play will be free, basically. And that's when you can go out there and work on, you know, you can be going out there every other day after work. It doesn't matter because it's not costing you anything because you've already basically paid up front. So, you know, I know golf memberships, it's pretty self-explanatory. You're like, what's the point of listening to this? Even some of the nicer courses in our area where, you know, University of South Carolina, their home course, when you go become a member of there, it's not that expensive comparatively to where we are at Golden Hills. It's a little further for us and the traffic's not great, so that's why we didn't want to, you know, become members over there. But it's not unattainable. You're basically paying up front for the golf you're going to play, but if you play more than once a week or you want to play more than once a week, becoming a member is the better option. It just is. I've been trying to tell a couple of my guys, some people don't listen, but it's the way to go. Especially if you can prepay for the year and just knock it out, and then you don't have anything drafting out of your account. That's where it is. Because normally you can save on registration fees and all that stuff. A lot of people don't like it because it's like, oh, you need to pay $400 new member fee or whatever. At Golden Hills, they were having a special in April where if you paid your first month, you only had to pay half the registration fee. Or if you paid in full, they waived the whole membership or the whole membership fee. So keep that in mind. And hope you guys get a lot of good golf in this week. Hope to have Dylan back next week and reach out to us. Got any questions for us, any topics you want to hear us talk about, reach out to us on our Instagram, Bogey or Better Podcast. Let us know what you guys have been thinking. We've got another guy in our circle of friends that has went full on Maltby, so we'll have to talk to him, get him on the podcast, hear him talk about it. And we'll catch you guys next week, all right? Have a good one.